Let's take our Bibles and look together in Leviticus chapter 7. This is a book of the Old Testament that before the Lord opened my eyes to see that all pertains to Christ, his person and his work. It used to be just a closed book. It seemed like an awful lot of detail about offerings and what to do, what not to do. Sadly, I would read it blindly because it teaches us, just like all the law, everything that has to do with God's absolute holiness. People say, don't sweat the detail. Well, here we sweat the detail. Because if God is not satisfied, then there is no worship that can be accepted from our hands. And without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. Old Testament, there wasn't any actual putting away of sin through the blood of bulls and goats and animals, but it was a type, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the way to read this. If you ever go back and start reading through Leviticus, and I'd encourage you to do it. Just ask God to open your eyes to see how it all pertains to Christ. And when you start looking at some of these types of pictures of what the Lord himself would have had to have fulfilled, not leaving one detail undone, that's where we see the glory of God manifest in its greatest form, the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of these sacrifices, it took thousands of millions over the years to represent one sacrifice. That's how infinite the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus is, but it also shows just how complete it is, because now that Christ has paid the debt, there is no more sacrifice to be offered than that which the Lord Jesus has offered. So this is a law, as it says in Leviticus 7, verse 1. Likewise, this is the law, not a law among others, but the law of the trespass offering. You know what that word trespass means. It means to cross over into someone else's property and to take what does not belong to you. Well, you stop and think about what sin is. That's robbing God of his glory. And so it's described here as a trespass, but it requires, you see, every one of these are sin offering, trespass offering. It required an answer in blood. Here's the reason. It is most holy. Not just holy, but most holy. So again, this is why the law was given. That we might see in it the holiness of God, might understand in it our own sinfulness in light of this, but then also how it is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the place, notice even there, verse 2, in the place, this wasn't just up to anybody to go out and offer it however they wanted to. In the place where they kill the burnt offering, and that was the altar out in front of the tabernacle or the temple, that place. And the idea of a burnt offering completely consumed. There was no part of that offering which was to remain. And this was to be offered up night and day before the Lord, 24/7. You see all these pristine pictures of how everything was neatly arranged around the tabernacle, but there was a smoke that went up constantly before the Lord. I don't know if you've ever left a roast in the oven too long and it gets burnt all of a sudden, that smell. But this would have been the smell that pervaded the entire camp day and night. And perhaps to humans it would have been nauseating, but scriptures call it a sweet savor unto God, because it represented the complete sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in that place shall they kill the trespass offering, and the blood thereof shall he sprinkle round about upon the altar. Now Christ represents the sacrifice. He represents the priesthood, but he also represents the altar. That blood that Christ shed was sprinkled upon his very being. In other words, speaking here of the offering of his soul by which he made satisfaction before God, required not the blood of bulls and goats, but his own precious blood. and he shall offer of it, this is speaking here of the priest now, high priest, he shall offer of it all the fat thereof, the rump, and the fat that covereth the inwards. Those would be parts that possibly man might look at and say, well, that's a waste, offer it unto the Lord. We could take that and eat it and just give the rest to the Lord. No, offer it all, burn it all. The two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul that is above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar for an offering made by fire. So there again, it's a picture of the wrath of God, which the Lord Jesus Christ endured in order to save sinners such as we are. It's unto the Lord. And again, it is a trespass offering. Every time it was offered, it was a reminder, I am guilty, I am guilty, I'm guilty. Most people today, if they get caught for trespassing, they're going to try to get out of it, justify it. Say, well, you know, there's no getting out of this. It's either the offering in the place of the sinner or the sinner remaining guilty. Every male among the priests shall eat thereof. It shall be eaten in the holy place. It is most holy. So this particular offering was to feed the priests. They weren't to go out and sow fields and have houses. They were to live completely of this particular ministry. And I think of our Lord Jesus Christ as he walked in this world. He had but one ministry, one mission. That was to satisfy his Father and set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem. His meat, he said, and his drink was to do the will of his Father. As a sin offering is, so is the trespass offering. There is one law for them. The priest that maketh atonement therewith shall have it. This was an offering to be offered, but parts that were taken out were to be given for the nourishment of the priest. And you notice in the Old Testament, the word atonement is used. It's for a covering. It didn't take away sin, but it was a covering. And the priest that offereth any man's burnt offering, even the priest shall have to himself the skin of the burnt offering which he hath offered. And all the meat offering that is bacon in the oven, and all that is dressed in the frying pan and in the pan shall be the priest that offereth it. That's how the Lord fed them, nourished them. They lived of this offering. And every meat offering mingled with oil and dry shall the sons of Aaron have, one as much as another. Now we come to the peace offering. And the reason we're looking at this is because these were what David offered up as he brought the ark back into Jerusalem, the way that God purposed, the right way of worship. And this is the law, in the same language, the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then shall he offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil and cakes mingled with oil and of fine flour fried. Again, all types and pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessings that come to those for whom he paid the debt. Beside the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread, and the sacrifice with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. It might surprise some there to read leavened bread. But this was to taste. It had to do with those partaking of it. His fellowship was established with God and eating of this and being filled with it, all in type and picture of Christ. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priests that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning. So here again, in contrast to the burnt offering, which was completely burnt, these the priests either partook of, or as we're going to see here, priests and the people, as a picture of the fellowship that there was between God and the sinner established through the sacrifice. I believe believe a lot of this language is what we see with regard to Christ when the Lord said, "Except a man eat my flesh and drink my blood." He's referring to himself as being this trespass offering, this peace offering. But first, the sacrifice. Verse 15, "The flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten in the same day that is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering," in other words, you could bring an offering out of thanks or out of dedication to God for any particular reason, "it shall be eaten the same day that you offer this sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted." So even here, it wasn't to be willy-nilly as to how this was to be done and eaten. It was precise. "It shall be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offered it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity." I think of people today that say, "Well, aren't we making a big deal of the death of Christ? What's the big deal? This one could see it this way, and this one could see it that way." Imagine in this law, if someone said, "It doesn't matter, something third day, it's still good, smell it, taste it, all right, eat it." The Lord said, "No, it's to be burnt. It's an abomination unto him. And the flesh that toucheth any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burnt with fire. And as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. But the soul that eateth of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings that pertaineth unto the Lord." There was a part was unto the Lord, and then a part that they were to partake of, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. I think of people today that want to rob God of that part of the sacrifice of Christ that belongs unto the Lord, which is all of it. It's his glory. But men still want to come and take part of it and apply it to themselves somehow other than what we find in Scripture. And here it says that that soul shall be cut off from his people. Does it matter how we see Christ and his death? Absolutely. "Moreover, the soul that shall touch it, any unclean thing, as the uncleanness of man, or any unclean beast, or any abominable unclean thing, and eat of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings which pertain unto the Lord, even that soul shall be cut off from his people." The only way to be clean before the Lord is to be sanctified in Christ. If we come in any way through our own merits or by our own will, that's an unclean thing. And it is abomination. "And the Lord spake unto Moses," verse 22, "speak unto the children of Israel, saying, ye shall eat no manner fat of ox or of sheep or of goat, and the fat of the beast that dieth of itself, and the fat of that which is torn with beasts may be used in any other use, but ye shall in no wise eat of it. For whosoever eateth the fat of the beast, of which men offer an offering made by fire of the Lord, even the soul that eateth it shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, ye shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be of fowl or of beast, in any of your dwellings. Whatsoever soul it be that eateth any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from his people." So there were specific instructions given, even as to how people were to partake of this meat. Primarily to be offered to the Lord for sacrifices. And not just any way. Not just any sacrifice will do. It speaks there of dead meat, of corrupt meat. Meat that's died. That's not to be eaten of, nor to be offered unto the Lord. But we have people today that want to say that when Christ died, he was made a sinner. The sacrifice was corrupted by the sin of the people that he bore. I can't imagine anything more blasphemous. And then to eat of that. They make that their mantra. and feel like that's true substitution, that Christ became what we are, and so we become what he is. They make Christ the sinner, and they make man the sinless one. It's blasphemous. All of this, I believe, is depicted there. That any that partake in any such way, they'll be cut off. Those people aren't worshiping God. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, he that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offerings unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offering. His own hand shall bring the offerings of the Lord made by fire. That's admitting guilt. Admitting that this is my sin. Like with Christ, my sin nailed him to the cross. The fat with the breast, it shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. And the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. And the right shoulder shall ye give unto the priest for a heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offerings. I'm not a butcher. I don't know a lot about meat, but somebody told me one time that is a butcher that this is some of the best portion of the meat. And it was to be given unto the Lord. Not to be kept for ourselves. See, this is the problem with so-called Christianity. Everybody's looking at the death of Christ and trying to figure out what part of it they like. Blind to themselves. When it's all, it belongs unto the Lord. All the glory belongs unto him. He among the sons of Aaron that offereth the blood of the peace offerings and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part. For the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offering, and have given them unto Aaron, the priest, unto his sons, by a statute forever from among the children of Israel. This is the portion of the anointing of Aaron. This was designed to keep that Aaronic priesthood going until Christ should come. And of the anointing of his sons out of the offerings of the Lord made by fire in the day when he presented them to minister unto the Lord in the priest's office, which the Lord commanded to be given them of the children of Israel in the day that he anointed them by a statute forever throughout their generations. So again, we see pictures of Christ here, not only the sacrifice, but in the priesthood. Aaron representing that office, the anointed one. That's what the word Christ means, anointed. This is the law, verse 37, of the burnt offering, and of the meat offering, and of the sin offering, and of the trespass offering, and of the consecrations, and of the sacrifice of the peace offering. There in one verse, 37, you have the sum of the categories of offerings that were offered. And that's a lifetime study. Go back and just literally study through these and see how they pertain to Christ. A number of years ago, we studied through Leviticus. And that was a blessing to be able to see that. But it says, verse 38, which the Lord commanded. It's not an option. It's not an invitation to worship in this way, but a command. That's what David found out when they were carrying that ark in the first time. It wasn't done the way the Lord commanded it. The Lord took out one of those priests. He was one that was cut off. That unclean hand reached out and touched that altar. Immediately took him out. People were shocked. Even David displeased. But then as he pondered the way of the Lord, he saw, the Lord opened his eyes and saw that, no, this has to be done exactly as God has commanded. The Lord commanded Moses in Mount Sinai in the day that he commanded the children of Israel to offer their oblations unto the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. This is why the writer of the Hebrews said, if people in the Old Testament didn't escape judgment, by what standard do you believe that people now, today, with the gospel complete and fulfilled in Christ, what escape is there? There is no escape to deny the Son of God and the glory that belongs unto him. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Father, what a precious word, and yet a solemn word. We confess that much of what we read, we're just as illiterate people, not understanding. But I'm thankful that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, knew it. And that by his knowledge, directed Isaiah to write, to my righteous servant justify me. If it was left up to us, we would most certainly be cut off. But I'm thankful that he came, lived, died, and rose again, having fulfilled every jot and tittle of this law, your satisfaction, the satisfaction of your law and justice, that you might be a just God and a Savior. That's why we have the freeness to come this evening, and to listen and to worship freely because of that shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lamb, our sacrifice, our altar before you. So I pray that you would give us eyes to see and hearts to truly rejoice in the work that your Son has accomplished. I give you all the thanks and praise in his precious name.